good singing tonight, and it's just been a good day. And we again thank Evangelist Bruce Fry for coming all the way to Mountain City, Tennessee, and being a channel of blessing to us today. And so, brother, you come at this time and just follow the Lord, brother. We appreciate you.
Thank you, preacher.
All right. Well, I got a question to ask you. How many of you got a nap this afternoon? Do you know that that's biblical? I'm going to prove it to you. Now, I love acrostics, so I'm going to give you the first one. I like this one. The one for Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Believer's instructions before leaving earth. That's good, right? Then there's one for faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Then there's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, I'm not sure if I heard this one or God gave me this one, but there's one for the gospel. God offers sinful people eternal life. And you can find the word gospel right in the middle of John 3:16. For God, there's the G, so loved the world that He gave His only. There's the O, begotten Son. There's the S, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. There's the P, but have everlasting. There's the E, life. There's the L. The word gospel right in the middle of John 3:16. But I really like a couple more. There's one, joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. Frog, fully relying on God, and I made a couple of these up, GPS, God's perfect Son, or God's plan salvation, however you want to say that. But then there's the one for saint, and this is the one I use this afternoon. Sunday afternoon is nap time. Hallelujah! All right, so there you go. I told you it was biblical, all right? Oh, me. Well, what a joy to be with you. Thank you for those of you who came back, and I've met some new faces that said that they weren't here this morning but came, and so thank you for being here as well. And I thought I'd start off and do another one for the little kiddos, and I love children. How many of you just love children? You know, I believe that God loves children, amen? And He said, suffer the little children to come unto Me, all right? Well, this is a song that my brother wrote about a fella by the name of Herman. But Herman was a bullfrog. Now, Herman was full of pride, and he didn't get saved. I hate to say it, but that's just the way it is. Now, in this song, I need your help a little bit. So it goes like this. Hello, children. Now, how are you? And you go, fine, 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 five times. All right? You're giving me that look again. Let's try it one time. All right? Hello, children. Now, how are you? Well, you know what? Sounded good, but your heart's not in it. I can tell you that, right? Just give it a little more oomph. That'll help me a little. Let's try it again. Hello, children, now. How are you? There we go. Tell you right now what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you a story written just for you. About a wide mouth, blue-eyed, educated, dignified, web-footed, high-jumping, full of pride friend of mine. Herman the Bullfrog. You can find him in the evening sitting on a log, singing and croaking his favorite song, gazing at himself in the waters there, combing and parting his slimy hair. With his long yellow tongue and with a naked of an eye, he could sneak up slow, catch and swallow a fly. That's Herman, Herman the Bullfrog. Got his very own Pawnee Nose Jungle Gym. He's got 100 tadpoles named for him. King of the mud and the lily pad. What a wonderful life he had. He can jump up higher than the tallest pine, and he can move a lot quicker than the naked eye. Turn a triple somersault, laughing all the time. And then one day, Lily the butterfly came a flutter and a flitting and a floating by. She said, "Hello, Herman, how are you? Got a thing or two to ask of you. Where you gonna go when you die? Where you gonna be in eternity? What are you gonna say on that fateful day? Don't you know Jesus lived and died and rose again?" What old Herman say? "Well now go on, Lily, why can't you see? I got flies to catch and frogs to meet. There ain't no need to hurry, I've got time. So goodbye, girl, won't you move along? Don't bother me, I'm having too much fun. Go sing your song, someone new, not me. But little did Herman the bullfrog know that very same moment down deep below there was a one-eyed alligator marking time, watching and awaiting with a hungry eye. And poor Herman dove, and right before my eyes that one-eyed gator took him by surprise. Swallowed him whole in the wink of an eye, never had a chance to say goodbye. And now Lily, she cried and said with a sigh, "Oh, Herman, I tried, I tried, I tried. You lived your life and died so foolishly. And you were so hung up on frogs and flies and thinking you had lots of time. It's too late now, it's too late now for you. So boys and girls, please listen good. Don't do like a dumb old bullfrog would. Please don't wait, say yes to Jesus now. And if Herman could have a word with you, I'm sure he'd say the same thing too. Please don't wait, say yes to Jesus now." Amen? Well, amen. All right. Well, I'm going to move away from the sacred desk for a minute because I want to have some fun with you tonight, all right? And again, the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." I wrote this song with a friend of mine, and it has no spiritual value whatsoever, all right? It's just fun to do. Now, before I got saved, I didn't go to church, I didn't read the Bible, but I watched the Andy Griffith Show every single day. I didn't just watch it, I studied it. It's terrible. Now, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but Barney Fife's initials are BF. Bruce Fry, my initials are BF. We're about the same size. And, well, you know. So, I'm going to do you, I'll do you a little takeoff on Barney Fife. Here he is. "Now, men, here at the Rock, we have two rules. Rule number one, obey all rules. Rule number two, no writing on the walls, for it takes a long time to get writing off the walls. Now, men, for your rehabilitation, I have purchased a metal craft set, a wood carving set, and a Mr. Potato set." And there you have Barney Fife, all right? And so I have my favorite songwriting partner in Nashville, Tennessee. His name was Mark Johnson. And anytime I had an idea for a song, I'd always call him first. So I called him one day and I said, "Mark, I got a great idea for a song." He went, "Yeah, sure, Bruce. What is it this time?" I said, "Nip it in the bud." He said, "I'll be right over." Because Mark watched the Andy Griffith Show just like I did, and we loved it. And as a matter of fact, when we get together to write songs, we'd always watch the Andy Griffith Show when we did that, just for fun. So this song is about somebody like me who watched the Andy Griffith Show way, way too much. Now, when I got married, everything reminds me of the Andy Griffith Show, and I'll say quotes from the Andy Griffith Show, and I was doing that when I first got married to my wife, and she would look at me and she'd go, "What are you talking about?" And I'd say, "Andy and Barney, didn't you ever watch it?" And she said, "Not really." So she started watching the show with me. She said, "This is where you're getting all this stuff from." She said, "All my life I've married Barney Fife." So here we go with Nip It in the Bud, and this is just for fun, all right? Stare at the screen with crazed bloodshot eyes, empty pop bottles, chicken that's fried. "Andy, time for supper. Rerun to rerun, I just can't break free. There's Andy and me, and baby makes three. Don't worry, we'll get him. I gotta nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. I think I need to get a life and say goodbye to Barney Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Said, "Ooh, how about a haircut? It's a beautiful thing to watch Goober work. Ain't you got a jack? Or to hear Comer sing Santa Lucia. Otis can jump rope with bottle in hand, but Andy can't get me to just call the man. Call the man, Aunt B. I gotta nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud." I'm losing some of you that don't watch the show. "Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. I fear I'll never have a life or ever hooked on Fearless Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud." Ernest T. Bass, she called me a creaster. Can sure chug a rock. And Opie the bird man, he sure learned a lot. Winking tails blinking, and blinking whispers to Nod. And Nod tips off Barney that I'm losing it all. My whole body's a weapon. I gotta nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. I fear I'll never have a life or ever hooked on fearless fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Oh my Barney had a jail and couldn't lock it. Had one bullet for his pistol, had to keep it in his pocket. His left shirt pocket. Episode 117, The Shoplifters, his right shirt pocket. Barney messed up, and I noticed. I told you, I watched it a lot. Most all the other episodes, except for maybe three, his left shirt pocket. You don't think I can get manger sounds out in this jug? A man's entitled to his opinion. And I ain't going to be beat to death with no spoon. You might as well give her a little poke while she's a-bugging. And we thought about killing him. Kind of hated to go that far. I got a nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Nip it, 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 nip it in the bud. I might get my hand in those petunias yet, Andy. So there you have it. All right. Oh, I appreciate that. Well, thank you again for coming out. And every night I'll do a little fun song with you and have some fun with you. And thank you again for allowing me to come. I still hadn't got to meet the preacher where I'm staying yet, but hopefully I'll get to do that sometime while I'm here before I get thrown out of that place. No, it's very, very nice. It's quiet and it's really good for me, and I appreciate it. Well, I want to play you a song, and then I'm going to have you turn to some scripture. I had an uncle who lost his life in the Vietnam War, and he was my Uncle Pete. His name was Gary Nelson Fry, but his nickname was Pete, so we called him Uncle Pete. And then every time he would come to see us, he would, you know, my grandmother would always be with him. So my younger brother Dale nicknamed her Grandma Pete. So it was Uncle Pete and Grandma Pete. And he went to Vietnam, and he was there for 2 years. He came home safely, and my grandmother was so happy that he made it home safely. But he re-enlisted and went back for 2 more years. And 2 weeks before he was to come home, he stepped on a landmine and lost his life. And you know, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so I wanted to write a song that would honor my uncle. And I wrote a song called Uncle Pete one time, but it was not very good, and I threw it away. And then I heard somebody say one time, oh, for Pete's sake. And I went, oh, that's it. So I wrote this song. It's called For Pete's Sake. And if you've been in the military, you've served our country, God bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Well, taller than a mountain, father's baby brother, we would all pile on him, nearly knock him off his feet. When he would take us fishing, he made us feel important. To me, there never was a bigger man than Uncle Pete. Find a note he wrote to Grandma, postmarked Vietnam. He was trying to explain why he had to return. And he said, life's a gamble, but if I can't save someone from going through this war, I'd fight forever if I could. So for Pete's sake, don't forget they died for our freedom, the ones who sacrificed it all with everything at stake. When you forget to remember, just dig a little deeper. If you can't do it for yourself, then do it for Pete's sake. A There's a picture on my wall, a Pete out in the jungle, and a tattered flag stirring in the wind. Sitting there on foreign soil, working on a letter, trying to smile, all he could muster was a grin. Some folks give their time, others give their money. Some folks only look to share the pain. Some people lose their lives for something they believe in. You only have to look upon the wall to find their names. So for Pete's sake, don't forget they died for our freedom. The ones who sacrificed it all with everything at stake. When we forget to remember, just dig a little deeper. If you can't do it for yourself, then do it for Pete's sake. If you can't do it for yourself, at least do it for Pete's sake. We called him Uncle Pete, my father's baby brother. Amen. Now, my uncle volunteered to serve our country. And you know, there's a lot of people who volunteer. I've seen it around this church already since I've been here. I came in and everybody's volunteering to sing in the choir and to work on that. And I see you're having this thing Saturday and you're going to have some volunteers to come in here and have a work day. And that's a wonderful thing. And here in the Word of God, in Mark chapter 2, we're going to see four men who volunteered for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question and the title of the message tonight is simply this: are you a volunteer? Now, there's a lot of people who are saved, but they're not surrendered to do God's will. And there's a lot of people who are saved, but they're sitting on the sidelines. You know, God wants every born-again Christian to be doing something for the cause of Christ. He really does. But I remember I was with Brother Tony Hudson one time, and he said, "Brother Bruce," he said, "most people I see just sit soaking sour." And he said, "If you sit soaking sour long enough, you're going to start to stink." And he said, "I don't want to be a stinking Christian, do you?" And I said, "No, sir, I sure don't. I sure don't." But here in Mark chapter 2, I want to read just a few of the verses. If you'll stand with me, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to read one verse, and we'll have our prayer time, and then I'll go through this passage of Scripture with you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Let's pray. Father, once again we come to you tonight thanking you that we can be in the house of God. Thank you that we can have a good time in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you for the Son of God. Thank you for salvation through the blood. And Father, we thank you for this pastor and his wife and family and this body of believers here. Thank you for allowing me to come here for such a time as this. And I pray that you would use this message for those who may be in the faith, but they're just sitting on the sidelines doing nothing for the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll challenge brothers and sisters in Christ to be a volunteer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Years ago, when I first got saved, I learned about the bus ministry. Now, I had never heard about the bus ministry. I didn't know any of that was going on. I didn't know people would go and knock on doors on Saturday, invite kids to come to church, and then Sunday go pick them up in the bus and bring them. I had no idea that was going on because my life was all the way away from that. And so when I got saved, I found out about the bus ministry in Shenandoah Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. That's where I learned about the bus ministry. And so when I went back to Nashville, I was working in Cleveland during the week, and I was still living in Nashville. And so when I'd go back on the weekends, I got to thinking, after I learned about that I said, you know what, I've got a van. I could go pick up some kids. I had a lot of musician friends that had little kids, and so I started calling them on the phone. "Hey, would you let me take your children to church with me?" And this is what they said: "Yes, take them." And so I started me a little van ministry, and I started picking up these kids and taking them. And I remember going around in a trailer park one time, And as I was picking up these other kids in the trailer park, a bus came around picking up other kids from another church. So all this bus ministry stuff was kind of piling on me. And so I started thinking about a song called The Captain of the Bus. And this is the first song that I wrote with my brother Sammy after I got saved. So it's very dear to my heart because of that. And you know what? I didn't know what I was doing. I was doing the best I could. But I would pick up these kids, and I'd take them to McDonald's an hour early before church so they could run on the playground, get some of the energy out, right? And then I bought them pancakes and syrup. So by the time they got to church, they were all jacked up on sugar, you know. So I wasn't doing too good. But I did the best I could. And so I wrote this song with my brother, and it's one of my favorite songs that God has allowed me to write, and it's simply called The Captain of the Bus. Staring out the window as the rain comes pouring down, my heart soars as it rounds the bend. He's always right on time, and he greets me with candy and a big smile on his face. An angel on my doorstep in this ungodly place. Then he drives me to Sunday school, where they teach about God's grace. Well, I learned that I'm a sinner, but I don't have to die that way, 'cause Jesus shed his blood for me on Calvary one day. When it's time to go back home, I'm wishing I could stay, but my Lord will protect me as I trust him and obey. For my Savior lives within me. I was lost, but now I'm saved. Now I thank God that Jesus died for little kids like us. In his wisdom, he had planned someone who cared enough. A tender heart, soft spoken, gentle with his touch. Thank you, Lord, for sending me the captain of I still remember singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. So grateful for the peace I've found and the joy that fills my soul. So if you're lost and searching, confused and all alone, the shepherd came to give you life, if only our Father sends his servants to make his presence known. I thank God that Jesus died for little kids like us. In his wisdom, he had planned someone who cared enough. A tender heart, soft spoken, gentle with his touch. Thank you, Lord, for sending me the captain of the bus. And thank you, Lord, for Jesus, the captain of the bus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I heard a story about a pastor who had a big bus ministry at his church, and he was walking down the hall one day, and a little bus kid was behind him, and he said this, "Hey, mister." The pastor turned around, and he said, "Are you talking to me, son?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you God?" The pastor said, "No, son, I'm not God. I'm the pastor of the church." And all of a sudden, some tears started coming down that boy's cheeks, and he said, "I thought this might be heaven, so I thought you might be God." And you know, sometimes we have no idea what kids are going through. And we need to go out and win them for Jesus Christ. We need to be a volunteer. Amen? I have a friend of mine I'm going to tell you about. His name is Dean Dees. Now, I call him Double D. He's a crazy guy. If I call him on the phone right now, he doesn't say hello. This is what he says. He's coming again. He's coming. I mean, he's excited, wanting Jesus to come back and get us. I mean, he is all about waiting for the rapture. If I'm driving down the road this way, he's driving that way, and he sees me, he'll take his hands off the wheel and go like this. I mean, that's just Dean. And so Dean called me one day and asked my wife and myself if we would come and have a little brunch with him on a Saturday afternoon. And I said, yeah, we'd love to do that, Dean. And so we were at my house getting ready to leave, and Dean called me on the phone. He said, hey, have you left your house yet? And I said, no, getting ready to. He said, brother, he said, I've invited some of my neighbors, and they don't know the Lord. Could you bring your guitar and maybe do a little devotion, share the gospel? I said, sure, Dean, I'll be glad to do that. And so we got in the car, and I told my wife, I said, honey, you drive. And I said, I'm going to open the Word of God and see if God will give me something for my friend Dean Dees on the way to his house. And it was only like a 20-minute drive. And God gave me 12 D's for Dean D's that day. And I'm going to share those with you. Now, it's not 12 points. Don't get scared. All right? So look back here at the Bible. And it says here, well, first of all, I want to do this. Let me read these verses. And I'm going to emphasize some words. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And here it is. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Another title for this message could be this. They did all they could do so Jesus could do all he wanted to do in the life of this one young man. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. Now, let me do these 12 D's real quick here for you. The Bible says here in the first verse, and again he entered into Capernaum. So there was a destination. That was the first D I saw. And then it says, and it was noise that he was in the house. So there was a dwelling place. That was the second D. And then in verse 3, they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. So there was a disease. Do you know that we're all born with a disease? That disease is called sin, and it needs to be taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, which was born of four. Now, you can find this same story in two other Gospels here, and it was four men. Not that God can't use women. God uses women all the time in the Bible and in the church. And I'll be honest with you, men. Some of the churches that I go to, the women are serving more than the men are serving, and we ought to be ashamed about that because we're supposed to be the leaders. We're supposed to be the ones setting the example. And so there was a destination, a dwelling place, a disease, four determined men. And the Bible says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, when they got to this house, it was so full of people. This is what they could have said. Hey, man, I'm sorry. Today's not the day. There's no way we can get in there. It's just too packed. But they were so determined. They went on the roof, started pulling the tiles apart, and lowered their friend to Jesus Christ. You know, there's only two times in the Bible where I see a sinner come down and the Savior look up was this story and Zacchaeus in the tree. And the thing about it is, imagine all of a sudden a sawzall starts cutting a hole through this roof right here. I think I'd have to stop preaching and get out of the way. I'd be like Chicken Little and the sky's falling or something, you know. But isn't it an amazing thing to think about? I bet everybody in the house thought, what in the world is going on? I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, just stopped back because he knew it was getting ready to happen. He had all this planned out long before the foundation of the world because he's a sovereign God. And it was a wonderful thing. And as they were lowering their friend, the Bible says here, when Jesus saw their faith, I thought, wow, Jesus saw the faith of these four men because they knew that if they could get their friend to Jesus, that Jesus could help this guy, right? And then I thought about this. Wait a minute. It was not just the faith of the four, because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God, right? So the one that was on the cot had to have faith, because look what Jesus said. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you see the heartbeat of Jesus Christ? He was more concerned about his soul than he was about healing him. Now, he did heal him later on in the story to prove that he was God in the flesh. But right here, he's thinking about his soul. And that is the heartbeat of God, the souls of men. We talk about that. We're going to talk about that all week. So there was a destination, a dwelling place, a disease, determined men. And in verse 5 here, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We see a decision to trust Christ as Savior. And as we continue to read in verses 6 and 7, we see the doubting scribes. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know what? Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And he knew exactly what they were thinking. He knew exactly what was going on in their heart. And guess what? He knows what you're thinking tonight. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart, because we see the doubting scribes. And then verses 8 and 9, we see his deity, that Jesus Christ is God. See, in that time, people thought he was a great man. He was a prophet. He was doing all these miracles, but they did not believe that he was God in the flesh. But here he proves that. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Can you imagine being there? Man, he knows what I'm thinking. Wow. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? So here we see his deity, that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Then in verse 10, we see his dynamic power. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. Verse 11, we see a direct command. I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And then in verse 12, we see direct obedience. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "Whoo!" I stuck that in there. We never saw it on this fashion. We never seen anything like this. You know, he's proven he's God, saying, I can forgive your sin while I'm here in this body. I can forgive your sins all the way from heaven because I am God in the flesh. And then he healed him to prove that he was God in the flesh. And then I got to thinking about it, and I went back to verse 5. When the moment that Jesus Christ said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, it was a done deal and a defeated devil. Hallelujah. The moment you get saved, the devil can never have your soul. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to keep you from being a volunteer for Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about who these guys were? Obviously, there was a man who was sick of the palsy. That means he was lame in his legs. He could not walk. Now, he had heard about Jesus, but he couldn't get to him. He needed some help. And God sent him 4 volunteers. Hey, I'd like to get some volunteers here if I could. I'd like some young men. I'd like to get 5 young men to come and help me do an illustration. Could you do that? Is there any young men that would like to volunteer and help old Brother Bruce out tonight? Come on, buddy. I appreciate that. There you go. Come on. All right. There's 3. I need 2 more. Come on, buddy. Right. 1 more. I just need 1 more. Come on, you're the man. I was hoping that you would come because I want you. Well, I guess you're going to go on that side, and I want you to come over here. Come with me over here. Come. All right. Now, what's your name?
Bentley.
Bentley? Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to have you be the man that was on the cot, okay? So you're going to be lame in the legs and you can't walk. Can you sit down for me?
Yeah.
And then lay down. You trust me?
Yep.
You don't know me that good. All right, lean back. Okay. Now see, Bentley is sick of the palsy. He's lame in the legs. He can't walk. Now he's heard about Jesus, but he can't get to Jesus on it. He needs some help. He needs some volunteers. So this first guy, I want you to step over him. Don't step on his head, and his legs are already messed up. All right? So this first guy comes up and he said, hey, what's wrong with you? And he tells him his story. He said, I know somebody that can help you. His name's Jesus Christ. And guess what he did for me? He said, one day I was in the temple and my hand was all withered up and knotted up. I couldn't hold a hammer. I couldn't hold a pencil. I couldn't pick my nose. I couldn't do anything with that hand because it was so knotted and messed up. He said, but Jesus in the temple one day, to prove that he was God of the Sabbath, of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he healed my hand. And I'll be glad to take one side of this cot and help you get to Jesus. Wouldn't you like that? I bet you would. All right. Then we have this guy. I want you to step over. Don't mess him up now. All right, good boy. All right, then there's this guy. He said, hey, what's going on here? They tell him the story of what's going on. He said, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. He said, I was on the road one day, and he said, I was blind. I could not see anything. I was in total darkness. And before we come to Christ, we are all in total darkness. The Bible says that Satan is blind to the minds of them which believe not. He said, I was on the road one day. He said, I heard Jesus was coming by. I couldn't see him, but I heard he was coming by. So I yelled out, oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody told me to be quiet. But you know what? I yelled again, oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus touched my eyes, and now I can see. It's been wonderful, and I've been following him ever since. And if he can do that for me, I believe he can help you. But we still need some more volunteers. And then this guy comes walking up, finds out what's going on. And he said, hey, let me tell you my story. He said, me and 9 of my friends met Jesus Christ on the road one day. We were all lepers. You see, leprosy in the Bible was a picture of sin. And leprosy was such a bad disease that if you had it and somebody was walking towards you, by law, you had to cup your hand over your mouth like this and say, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. Don't get near me. You don't want this. It was so embarrassing. He said, but Jesus healed me of my leprosy from my head to my feet. I am clean, all because of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Now, there were 10 lepers that got healed, but he's the only one that turned around to give thanks to our Lord. You know what Jesus said to him that day? Thy faith hath made thee whole. 10 lepers got healed, but only this one got saved by the grace of God. He said, so I will be glad. I could have never got this close to you before. You'd have got my disease, but not anymore because I'm clean. And now they're all looking at his legs and going, you know what? I know he cleansed me from leprosy, and he fixed my hand, and he took my, you know, gave me back my sight, but man, those legs, whew, they look bad. And if they started doubting any bit, then this guy walks up, and he says, why would you doubt our Savior? My name's Lazarus, and I was in the grave for 4 days, and he called my name, and I came forth, and if he can do that, this will be nothing for him. Let's stop doubting. Let's get determined, and let's get our friend to Jesus Christ. And that's what they did. They took him all the way to the house, got on the roof, and lowered their friend down there. And what did Jesus do? Saved his soul and healed his legs. Would you give me a round of applause for my volunteers here tonight? God bless you. All right, y'all can go back to your seats, okay? Wait a minute. I hadn't healed you yet, Bentley. Boop! You're healed. Go, boy, go. There you go. All right, after the service is over, I want my volunteers to come back to the table, and I want to give you a gift, okay? You know, when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, when you volunteer for Jesus, sometimes you get rewarded here. And if you don't get rewarded here, you're going to get rewarded there in heaven one day. Amen? So thank the Lord for our volunteers. Are you a volunteer? Do you want to be? All you have to do is say yes. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. All right? I want to tell you, I don't talk a lot about my old life. I share some things because I don't ever forget where God saved me from. But years ago when I first started playing music, I had a Chevrolet van that was nothing in it at all. My friend that I lived with was a carpenter, and he built me a bed in that van. I had it all fixed up nice. My equipment went in under the bed, and so I wasn't making enough money to stay in hotels and stuff like that, so I would stay in my van under bridges or in parking lots or campgrounds and stuff like that. And I was doing an East Coast tour. I was doing North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. And so I'd been on the road several weeks doing North Carolina, then I headed to South Carolina, to Hilton Head, South Carolina. And when I got there, I set my equipment up at the place that I was going to play that night. And back then, I always liked to look good on stage, so I'd like to get a good suntan. So I went to the beach, and I laid a blanket out. And I'd been traveling all day. I was pretty tired. And I laid down on that blanket, and I fell asleep in the hot South Carolina sun. And I mean, I got red lobster burnt. Now, I was so tired that I turned over in my sleep and got burnt on both sides. Oh, man, it was awful. When I was playing in the club that night, I had a glow on me, and it wasn't the glory of God, I can tell you that. You know, people were going by and said, man, you are burnt, son. I was staying in a campground that night. It was 80 degrees at night, and I had on sweatpants and sweatshirt. I was freezing to death. When you get burnt that bad, it's almost like you had the flu. You have chills, and you know, you just don't feel good. And so I was there for, you know, several days, and it was just miserable. And then I left there, and I headed from South Carolina to Warner Robins, Georgia. Now, the guy that owned the club there told me, he said, Bruce, when you get here, you can stay at my house because I live by myself. And I said, oh, man, that'd be great. I have to sleep in the van where it's so hot and stuff. And so on the way there, I didn't know Jesus as my Savior then, so I wasn't praying, but I was thinking in my mind, I hope I don't have a big crowd tonight. I don't feel good. I don't feel like entertaining people, but, you know, I'm going to do the best I can when I get there. And when I got there, my thoughts were answered. I can't say they were prayers, but when I got there, there was just a few people over here throwing darts, having a dart tournament. The guy that owned the bar was tending the bar, and he was serving them drinks, and he was drinking himself. And I'm over there. I'm feeling so bad that I wasn't in a party mood that night, so I didn't have anything to drink. And I was thinking, man, if I'm going to stay at his house, he better ride with me tonight because he's not going to be in any shape to drive home. So after the club closed about 2 o'clock in the morning, I told him, I said, hey, man, I've been watching you. I said, you probably shouldn't drive tonight. And he said, yeah, you're probably right. He said, Bruce, he said, I need to make a phone call. Do you have 1 minute? And I said, yeah, whatever. And so he got on the telephone. All of a sudden, he said, hey, he said, this is my wife. I want you to come talk to her. I said, I don't want to talk to your wife. I don't even know your wife. What are you talking about? He said, just please, just talk to her. So I got on the phone with this lady, and she said, hey, it's my husband's weekend to have the kids. And when she said that, I said, ma'am, your husband is in no shape to be around children. She said, oh, I'm not worried about him hurting our kids. I just want to make sure he's not driving. I can tell he's been drinking. I said, yes, ma'am. I'm driving. I haven't been drinking. But I said, why don't you just wait till tomorrow? She said, no, y'all come on by and get him. I said, you're kidding. So we went by and got these kids. 3 o'clock in the morning, we got them. And there was one of them, I can't remember exactly how old they were. Maybe one was 3, maybe one was 4 or 5. And then there was a little baby girl in diapers, not even a year old. And so here we are, we get him in the van, we take him to his house, and of course when we got there, he said, Bruce, help me get my kids into bed. I said, you're kidding me, right? All of a sudden, I'm an unwilling volunteer. I don't want nothing to do with this thing, but you know, what can I do? And so we went in there, and he had a big old water bed, and he put the two older kids in the water bed, and he put a blanket on the floor, and he laid that little girl on the blanket. Now, I didn't know a lot about babies, but I thought, that's weird. I said, she sleeps on the floor? He said, that's the way we do it. I said, okay. And so I'm getting ready to walk out of the room. I'm looking back at that little girl, and I just got this sick feeling. But, you know, I said, hey, this is his deal. I'm good to go. So I went into the bedroom right across the hall. I laid down. I was so tired. By now it's about 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't feel good. I'm still burnt and everything, you know. I'm getting ready to go in the la-la land and drool on both sides of my mouth. I'm ready to just get out of here. And all of a sudden, that little girl started crying. And I'm sitting there laying there going, oh, man. I said, well, he's the dad. He'll take care of this. But guess what? Dad's passed out. I don't know if you ever saw the Andy Griffith Show where Andy tried to wake Barney up early in the morning one time and couldn't get him up, blew a whistle in his ear, did everything, couldn't get him to wake up. That was this guy. Because I finally couldn't stand it. That girl was just screaming to the top of her lungs, you know, And so I got out of the bed, and I walked to the door, and I stuck my head in there, and I went, hey, your baby's crying. You need to fix her. I'm screaming. She's crying, and he's sleeping. And finally, I just walked on in there. I got right in his ear, and I said, dude, your girl needs you. You need to get out of the bed and fix her. He ain't doing nothing. I pushed him like that, and that water bed went like, I thought the kids were going to fly out the other side. Man. And finally, I said, man, I don't want to do this. But I got to do something because he's not waking up. So I walked over. This is how smart I was. I looked down at her, and I said, what's the matter with you? Like she's going to answer me. She can't even talk yet, you know. And I said, well, I got to do something. So I reached down there. When I picked her up, the aroma hit me. I said, good night. How could something so small smell so bad? Now, in that time in my life, I had never thought about changing a diaper. I had never dreamed about. It was not on my radar. You know what I'm saying? But here I am, an unwilling volunteer. I got to do something. So I take her into the kitchen. I put her on the counter. I started pulling that thing off. And when I started pulling it off, boy, it hit me then. I'm about to die, man. I'm about to throw up. It's just awful. Whew. I finally got the diaper off of her, got her cleaned up, and I turned the faucet on, stuck her little hiney up in there, washed her off a little bit, you know. Got a new diaper on her, and I said, okay, honey. I said, you're all cleaned up. It's time to go to bed. And I took her in there, and I was getting ready to lay her down on her blanket, and she started crying again. My first thought was, please tell me you didn't do that again. Oh, man, please. And so I said, what's wrong with you now? You know, I heard babies like to eat, so I took her back in the kitchen. She ate two of those little jars of Gerber baby food. She was starving to death. And then I heard you're supposed to burp them, so I shook her a little bit, you know. I said, okay. I said, you're cleaned up, you're fed up, and I'm fed up with it. It's time to go to bed. But every time I'd go to lay her down, she would cry. As long as I was holding her, she was fine. And now it's 5 o'clock in the morning. The sun's getting ready to come up. I'm walking around, and I'm thinking, oh, man, here's the headlines. Country music singer falls on baby, kills her dead, spends his life in jail. You know, I'm thinking all these crazy, what am I going to do? So I open the door to his bedroom. I opened the door to my bedroom. I lay down in the bed, and I laid that little girl on my chest, and we went to sleep. And when I woke up the next morning, she had her hands on my chest like this with her head sticking up and her tongue sticking out. And I said, good morning. And we bonded. It was the craziest thing I'd ever been through in my life. But you know what? Even as a lost young man, I believe God knew that I had enough character to take care of that little girl. And then I got to thinking about that. I started preaching this message around the country and thinking, I wonder if that family ever got back together. I wonder where that little girl is now. I wonder if she knows Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And it got all over me. I started making phone calls. I finally got, they had moved from the area that they were in, another part of Atlanta, Georgia there, right outside of Atlanta. And I called the number that I got, and a young girl answered the phone. And I said, can I speak to your dad? And she said, yes, sir. She was very polite. I'll get him for you. Got him on the phone, and I said, John, I don't know if you even remember me. I only played your club one time. I stayed at your house. I changed your girl's diaper. I said, you remember all that? And he said, yeah, I remember that. Bruce, good to hear from you. I said, well, John, I said, I got saved, man. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and I'm an evangelist, and I'm going around the country singing and preaching the gospel. I've been praying for your family, and I just got to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, buddy? He said, Bruce, I got right with God 2 years ago. He told me about the church he was going to, and he said, hey, he said, the girl that answered the phone, that was her. By now, she was 15 years old when I made this phone call. He said, you want to talk to her? And I went, yeah, that'd be great. I got on the phone with her and told her, I said, look, I'm going around the country and telling people about changing your diaper. I hope you don't mind. She said, as long as you don't tell them my name, I don't care. And I asked her the same question, and she said this. She said, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. Now, the family never got back together, but praise the Lord, they came to know the Lord. And you know, I was an unwilling volunteer. But you know what? When you get saved, nobody should have to tell you to read your Bible. Nobody should have to tell you to come to church. Nobody should have to tell you to do something for the cause of Christ. There should be a desire in your heart to be a volunteer for Jesus Christ. I'm going to end this message with this story. It's a true story. A friend of mine told me this. And he said there were two men, and they were standing up on a bridge. And they were, it was in Florida, and there was like a causeway, and there was water along here. The boats were going back and forth. I don't know if you've ever seen those speed boats that kind of barely touched the water, you know. Well, there was one of those boats, and it was coming down. There was a bridge right down here. There were rocks on this side, rocks on that side. And one guy looked at the other, and he said, man, if that guy doesn't slow down, he's going to be in trouble. The other guy said, yeah, he sure is. And about that time, that boat went airborne, turned upside down. And when it came to the bridge, it threw the guy out of the boat. He landed on one side where the rocks were. The boat landed on the other side and blew up into a million pieces. And these two guys are watching it like a movie. This is crazy. Wow. They ran down the steps, ran over to the bridge, and they looked over, and they saw the boat burning over here, and they saw that guy laying there and blood coming out of his head. And one guy said, man, that boy needs help. The other guy said, yeah, but I'm not a doctor. What can I do? He said, yeah, me neither. They didn't do anything. Now, somebody else saw, you know, what had happened and called an ambulance. And all of a sudden, the sirens started going, and one of those guys looked at the other one, and he went, "Hey, here come the professionals. They'll save this guy." And the other guy said, "I don't know, man. He's lost a lot of blood." He said, "Well, I hope they can save him." He said, "Yeah, me too, but, you know, what can you do?" You know why they didn't do anything? In their head, they knew he needed help, but it hadn't got to the heart. And we see people every day that are lost and dying and going to hell, and we know they need Christ. And a lot of times, we don't say a word to them. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, that ambulance got there. The medic jumped out, ran down the hill, and one guy poked his head. He said, "Man, that guy, he's a professional. He'll save him." He said, "I don't know, man. Lost a lot of blood." "Yeah, well, what you going to do?" And when that medic turned that boy over, one of those two men on that bridge went, "Oh, no, that's my brother. Please, somebody do something." And it went from his head to his heart, and then he was ready to take action. Church, I want to challenge you tonight. I want you to imagine that you were the medic. And you ran down there to help that guy. And when you turned him over in his bloody state, he woke up and looked at you, grabbed you by the coat, said, "Oh, I feel like I'm going to die." And you looked at him and said, "Hey, I'm going to do everything I can to save your life." What if he said this to you? "I don't know where I'd go if I died. Can you help me?" You wouldn't have time to get your preacher. You wouldn't even have time to go get your Bible. Have you memorized the scripture where you could lead somebody to Christ in that moment? Or would you watch them die and go to hell right there in your arms? Are you a volunteer? Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. If God has spoken to your heart during this message tonight in any way, would you raise your hand and say, "Brother Bruce, God spoke to me. God bless you. God bless you." Put your hands down. I'll ask this question every night. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure if you died right where you're sitting that you'd go to heaven, if you have any question about that or any doubt about that, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Say, "Bruce, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to. Would you please pray for me?" Is there anybody I could pray for like that tonight? Anybody at all? I'm looking around. I don't want to miss you. Anybody? I don't see any hands. Oh, God bless you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else? "Bruce, pray for me because I'm not sure that I know Christ, but I sure don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me." Anyone else at all? Father God in heaven, Lord, you've seen the hands of your children. You spoke to hearts tonight, and I thank you for that. I know you did that by your Spirit and by the Word of God. And Father, I pray for this one who raised their hand, not sure that heaven's their home. And we have an invitation here in just a moment. Lord, I pray that you would help them to leave their pride in their seat and humble themselves and come forward and let us open the Bible and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ so they could leave here tonight knowing that heaven's their home and Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Please help them to do that, Father. And Lord, I thank you for helping me tonight as I preach this message. And I pray that you be pleased with it. Father, help us all when we leave here to be volunteers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? And I'm going to play a song of invitation. If God spoke to your heart and you want to speak to him, just come to the altar right now. If you raised your hand, you're not sure that heaven's your home. Won't you come and let us help you tonight? Won't you come? People are already coming. If we can help you, you please come to me. Everywhere you look and everywhere you go, there are people who need to be told about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God offers sinful people eternal life. Called to capture this city for Christ. We've been sent to reach the lost. Are you Oh. are many who believe, but few who will receive the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Could God use someone like you? Called to capture this city for Christ, we've been sent to reach the lost. Are you willing to sacrifice? Called to capture this city for Christ.
You know, one day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. I think we're going to be glad that we volunteered for him. Pastor, would you come?
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. You look this way. And appreciate that message. And want to be a volunteer. I want to be ready. I want to be sensitive to the Lord's leading when I come across people. And be soul conscious everywhere you go. There's people that need to hear the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you feel awkward talking to someone, or the devil will just give you a million reasons why you shouldn't talk to them, won't he? He always tells, you know, gives us all these reasons. But let me tell you this. There's going to come a day, he was just talking about that, where people will stand, they'll stand in front of a great white throne judgment. And you'll probably see people come up before that great white throne judgment that you knew, and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, why don't you say something? Why don't you tell me? And I believe we'll cry that day.
Yes, I do.
We will cry. Because after that part in Revelation, that's when it says God shall wipe away all the tears. And right. I think some of those tears will be ours because we didn't tell them. But, you know, you might feel awkward talking to somebody, but, you know, a million years in eternity in heaven, man, somebody's going to come and say, man, I appreciate you talking to me. Thank you. Thank you for telling me. And tell you what, it's good to see this good number out here. I know somebody's been inviting people, and I want you to keep doing that. Invite people. We're going to be here every night until Wednesday, so we'll be right back here tomorrow at 7 o'clock. You come, bring somebody with you, get the word out, and we will be here Tuesday night at 7 and then Wednesday night at 7. I want to thank everybody for being here. Has anybody got a word on their heart tonight? Amen. All hearts and minds clear. All right. You be sure to go by Evangelist Bruce's table back there. He's got some CDs. If you want to buy some of his CDs, or he's got some tracks there, he'll give you. You can hand out. And he even takes Visa and MasterCard, but he doesn't take American Express. I don't know. But, I think I saw that back there, but that's great. You are high tech. We really appreciate you, and we don't take up an offering, but if you want to give, there's some buckets in the back. We certainly want to take care of God's man, and that would be, if you feel led to do that, you feel free to do that. Just drop it in the bucket in the back on your way out, and we really appreciate everyone for coming out tonight, and we hope we'll see you tomorrow night. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer here, and I'm going to ask Brother Steve if you dismiss us in prayer.